The Lubavitch Rebbe taught us to want Mashiach now. Mashiach now, though, is not only a slogan which refers to bringing the Mashiach in all of reality, Mashiach in the entire world, but Mashiach now also means that we need to manifest Mashiach in our own lives. What does this mean? So at the beginning of Parshas Vayishlach, we learn that Yaakov sends a message to Esav, and he tells him, Im Lavan Garti, I live with Lavan. And Rashi explains, what does it mean, Im Lavan Garti? Taryag Mitzvah Shemarti, I fulfilled 613 mitzvahs. So the Rebbe asks three questions. Number one, what's the connection between this expansion of Chazal, saying that Garti means Taryag, means 613, to the simple meaning of the Pasuk? Number two, why should Esav care about the fact that Yaakov kept 613 mitzvahs? And number three, what's the eternal lesson that we can learn from this? The Rebbe teaches, Im Lavan Garti means that I lived with Lavan with a sense of gerus. A ger is a convert, a ger is an immigrant, a ger is somebody who lacks a feeling of permanence. So meaning to say, that relative to all the things of Lavan's world, all the things of this world, of physicality, all the political things, the financial things, I lived in a state of temporariness. I was not completely immersed in this physical world. I realized that I'm a person who has a higher purpose, and I didn't allow myself to completely sink into the world of the mundane and into the world of physicality. And that allows a person to be in a state of taryag mitzvah shenarti. When a person is consumed by the things that go on in this world, by the challenges, the worries, the anxieties, the fears, the disputes of this world, then it's much harder to engage in a higher purpose. It's much harder to be focused on uplifting the world. If, however, a person has somewhat of a sense of detachment relative to the things of this world, then it's much easier to engage in the 613 mitzvahs. And that explains, says the Rebbe, why it is that Yaakov continues to tell Esav, Vayehi li chamor. I've had a donkey. I own a donkey. So the Medrash in Beis Shabbat tells us, chamor ze melech ha-mashiach. The chamor, the donkey, is a symbol for King Mashiach. And how do we know this? Because the pasuk in Zechariah, Perek Tes, pasuk Tes tells us, Gili me'oid bas Tzion, rejoice very much, daughter of Tzion. Hari bas Yushalayim, shout, daughter of Yushalayim. Hine malkich yavelach, behold, your king is coming to you. Tzadik v'noishahu, he is righteous and a person of salvation. Oni v'rechev al chamor, he's a pauper riding on a donkey, val ayir ben asoynes, and on a young donkey, the son of a female donkey. So we see that the word chamor, that donkey, is a symbol for Mashiach. And the idea here being that Yaakov, through his perspective of im lavan garti, of living in a state of temporariness and not being sunken into things of the world, Yaakov was able to uplift, to clarify the world. He was able to engage the world and not be dragged down by the world, but rather make his world a more illuminated, uplifted place. And that's why, relative to Yaakov's reality, Yaakov was living in an already redeemed reality. So Yaakov, when he tells Esav, Vayehi li chamor, Yaakov is inviting Esav to join him and create a messianic world, to join him in creating a redeemed world where all of humanity will be redeemed, all of humanity will rise above war, pettiness, and mundanity. But the Malachim returned to Yaakov saying, Banu el achicha al Esav, v'gam hu hoylich likrascha, v'arba meis ish imoy, that we've come to your brother. From your perspective, he's your brother. But from his perspective, he's still Esav. From Esav's perspective, Esav has not yet entered in uplifted reality. So what's the lesson for all of us who are not living in Yaakov and Esav's time, but are living many years later? The lesson is that we all need to have a perspective like Yaakov. We should try to be in this world in a manner of geirus, as wanderers, as sojourners. Realize that this world has a certain sense of impermanence to it. And if we have a perspective of impermanence relative to the world, then we will not be drawn down by the world, but rather we'll be able to uplift the world. Much like the famous story of the Mizvech HaMagid, who taught that in this world it's not necessary to have such a nice house and such nice furniture, because in this world we're only on a temporary journey. This is not our permanent home. So if we have this perspective of temporariness, then we can already enter a place where we uplift the world and we ourselves are living in a redeemed reality. But then we can't suffice with living a redeemed reality on our own. We have to invite the rest of the world along with us. It's possible that we will be successful, and it's possible that we won't. But we at least have to be hopeful and believe in the possibility that our actions could transform the world. The Rebbe closes the Sicha by calling our attention to the fact that Yutes Kislev, the day that the Alter Rebbe was freed from Russian prison in 1798, fell out right after Parshas Vayishlach. And that's not a coincidence, the Rebbe tells us. But rather, since Parshas Vayishlach tells us this idea of personal redemption, it tells us that by inculcating certain perspectives, we can enter a redeemed state and share that perspective with the world. That message is integrally related to Yutes Kislev, because the whole purpose of the Alter Rebbe's Chassidus, the whole purpose of Chassidus Chabad, is to offer us a perspective wherein we enter a state of personal redemption and then share that perspective with others.